Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And fourth meal?
A lovely, delicious, and disgusting fourth meal. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Juan Epp. That is the podcast starring me, Cypher Sounds.
And me, Peter Rosenberg. Did you want me to say something more?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a hip-hop podcast.
Right.
The first ever hip-hop podcast.
Right, and we're back.
Yeah, we talk about hip-hop, rap, music that rhymes, beats and lyrics, all rap-related things.
They got it. Welcome back to Juan Epp, ladies and gentlemen. Juan Epp is back.
Yeah, no, they know, Syph. Oh my God, and I have to say this. In episode one,
yeah,
some part that we recorded a really long time ago,
yeah,
I accidentally said, my man Bob Power said, don't say the year.
Yeah.
And it's my man Extra P. I don't even know how that
people were
came
upset.
Out of my mouth.
People were upset.
No, and they should be. They should be upset. Me, of all people, to mess up an ad-lib from Midnight Marauders, it's inexcusable. It's just like, mm-hmm. It was one of those things like when you're not, you're just talking and you randomly say the wrong name of someone.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, you got their first, you know, it was horrible.
And that's a
and
white
I'd like
man
to sincerely
too.
Apologize.
That's a white man's name. You messed it all up. You put a white man in a black man's spot.
That's, I know.
Real quick, man, thank you so much for rocking back with us. Can I a couple comments?
Please.
DJ Caution 631, really loving the new Juan Epp. Can't wait for the next one. Thank you. Shorty Mins, subscribed, listened, loved. Thank you. Somebody, Weskin Beats, wrote hard album cover. Not an album cover, but fine. I'm really digging the new format, but can we get the full back catalog? Not yet. We're trying to get a check. Here's my favorite one. I'm loving this new Juan Epp.
Okay.
This is JQuest Stay Smoking. I'm loving the new Juan Epp. It's like Juan Epp went to college and came back mature, educated, but still smells like with the shits. And what I need people to understand is that we are not documentarians. We are just two ne'er-dwellers just trying to make a little couple of dollars here and there. And even though...
A little scratch.
Even though we are just horrible human beings, we delivered.
And you're disgraced.
I'm a disgraced radio personality. You're just a horrible person in general, like just overall. And we still delivered a great product that people are loving. So thank you. Thanks to our whole team. Thanks to our whole squad. We're handling business. But let's get into the music.
No, today's episode is cool, too. I think the old Juan Epp fans will be very excited. Because we, over the past several months, we've been working on Juan Epp and the interviews we've done. And you've already heard it in the last couple episodes. The name Clark Kent keeps coming up over and over again.
Yeah, I always knew Clark Kent was involved, obviously. Never knew the extent.
Yeah, I don't think I quite understood just the level of importance he had until a few years ago. And then particularly when we were working on Juan Epp over these last several months, it's just become so clear that he's so integral to the Jay-Z story. So we decided, let's get this man, this DJ, this A&R, this record label dude, this amazing sneaker collector, this friend of Jay-Z.
Oh, we decided? We decided to get him?
What do you mean?
We always wanted him. We asked him twice. He said no. Then we finally convinced him.
We pestered him until he said yes. What you're going to get today is our extended sit-down with Clark Kent. And I think it really clears up and like really puts a bow on the first part of Jay-Z's career and how he broke it up.
Amazing, amazing details, small little Juan Epp gems all sprinkled throughout, stuff I didn't even know. And I'm realizing now, I don't think his name is really Clark Kent.
No, it's definitely not.
Like, know how Superman's name is not, it's Clark Kent to hide his identity? I think Clark Kent's name is to hide his identity.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I gotta figure this out.
Syph, the elusive DJ Clark Kent.
Is he elusive?
I don't think I'm elusive.
Okay, he's elusive in the sense that we've been recording this podcast for a long time now.
Yeah.
And he has come up in every single interview we've
every done. Interview ever.
This all it's Clark Kent. Clark Kent. Well, then Clark Kent, and then Clark Kent. And people said nice things about you, Clark.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, really nice.
I honestly hope that at the end of everything, that people really don't have anything bad to say. And I think that's the way I'm trying to live my life.
Right.
So it's an honor to hear you say that.
No, you know who spoke very highly of you? DJ Scratch.
That's my brother.
Yeah, Scratch spoke very highly of you. And he was talking about you as a kid.
Yeah, I was about to say, we come from the same block.
Right, and you're a couple years younger.
Older.
Older, you're a couple years older.
See, he thought I was younger too. That's amazing. Damn, sorry, Scratch. This is a beautiful thing.
Carry yourself very young.
Super young.
Youthful, not very young.
Youthful. Okay, youthful.
So when did you first meet Jay-Z?
I think he might have been about 16 or 15. Jazzo was a friend of Fresh Gordon. And Fresh Gordon was a friend of mine. And I used to be at his house all the time because he was producing and I was DJing and everybody went there to learn how to do what Fresh Gordon did because he was a wizard.
Who is Fresh Gordon, real quick?
Fresh Gordon's a producer. And
what did he do that we would know?
Do you remember the old breakbeat record that had the Andy Griffith theme?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He produced that.
Oh.
Fresh Gordon, what he doesn't get credit for is one of the biggest rap records ever. He produced it. Was Push It.
Wow. Salt Pepper?
Yeah, Salt and Pepper, Push It. He produced that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You talking about salt.
Salt and Pepper's here.
Yeah, and the funny thing is if you listen to the Gordy Groove record and then you hear Salt and Pepper's record, you can hear, oh yeah, that's Fresh Gordon style.
He didn't get credit.
Not necessarily.
Interesting. That's a iconic record.
But yeah, I'll say. Fresh Gordon and Jazzo were friends and Jazz used to write records in Fresh Gordon's crib and we all used to go over there and one day a record's playing and I hear the guy rapping. I was like, who is this? Because he sounds as good as you. And he goes, oh, that's Jay-Z. And he takes me to the projects. I'm not even sure Jay would remember this properly because it's almost like he didn't necessarily care when I met him.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it mattered as much. But I met him and he rapped and I was like, in my mind, I'm going, this is it. If you were really paying attention to lyrics back then, like you knew Jazzo was unbeatable.
Really?
Like, no one was better than Jazzo back in those days. I'm talking when everybody was all over Rakim and Kane and G-Rap and all of that. Jazzo, his bars were unbeatable.
Really? Like,
his rhymes were insane. But then he had this guy right next to him that could rhyme as good as him. Well, maybe not as good, but he said his rhymes better. So Jazz says incredibly good rhymes and Jay says incredibly good rhymes, but better. And he had that thing. Pause.
The it factor.
Yeah, he had it.
Like, back then. How old was he? 16, 17, you said?
I think he was 16.
So you went to Marcy Projects.
Yeah.
After Fresh Gordon's house.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to paint the picture. What time of day is this?
Early afternoon.
So.
Late or early evening.
4 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
Maybe like 6, 7 because.
Summertime.
Yeah,
sun was up.
Yeah.
And where he was just outside?
Yeah. Running the block.
Who was with him? Do you remember?
Not at all. I don't.
Any the funny guys?
Part is, I don't remember who else was there, but I was cool with guys who were around the guys that were older than him.
Right.
I'm older than them, so.
Yeah.
You know. And I heard him, and I took away that this guy is, he's it.
He rhymed for you because Jazzo said to rhyme for you.
Yeah.
He knew who you were.
I don't necessarily think he paid attention to who I was. I think it was more that Jazz said,
spit rhyme. Something. All right, let me spit real
quick.
You
know what I'm saying? And he did. And I just was like, okay, bet.
Wow.
And I left from there. And you have to understand, at that point, it's not like I'm some A&R to record company.
Right, well, that's what I was going to ask. What was the expectation?
I paid attention to rhymes more than the average dude who can't rhyme. So I'm the guy who could tell you that in 1983, the best MC, the first MC that you would call the best MC was Grandmaster Caz. When another person would shout Melly Mel, I'd be like, no. You didn't hear Grandmaster Caz if you could say that. You know what I'm saying? So when it came to raps and listening to people's rhymes, Like, I really listened. I heard Rakim at 11 standing on a milk crate rhyming in Wine Dance Day. And I was like, oh, he's special. But at 11, I saw it. I was there. I was DJing.
He was
day.
A kid back then.
So yeah. Did you think I'm going to do anything with this guy? You're just like, oh,
all
cool.
I know was I just felt these two guys were super duper special.
Okay.
And, you know, I never forgot it. So when, you know, records would come out, I was ahead of it. When they rhymed with Kane, I was like, oh, that's it. Because, like, if you listen to what Jay said on that record with Kane, like, the address that he gave you was insane. He said, I'm a cocky breed. I'm dope like poppy seeds. I live on one rich bitch plaza between Get Off My Dick and Stop Jocking Me. Like, he gave you an address. So many people missed that. I was just like, y'all missed that? He gave you a fucking address. Like, it's awesome what he just did. Like poppy seeds. I live one rich bitch plaza
between Get Off My Dick and Stop Jocking Me. All right. Clark is talking about the song Show Improve. It's a Big Daddy Kane record from 1994. And Syph, it wasn't the world's biggest record, but it was a big deal because it featured a whole bunch of cats on it, including Jay-Z.
Yeah. Sauce Money was on it, Shaheem, Old Dirty Bastard, and of course Jay-Z. And Show Improve is a 5% term. So that's why I like it.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. You got to show and prove. Yeah, it's like knowledge. You got to show what you're talking about and you got to prove it with the knowledge.
And what a random array of people on this record.
Yeah, well, that's how the 90s were.
So then, later on when I get an A&R job, the only thing I'm trying to sign is Jazz and Jay.
And where was your A&R job?
Atlantic Records.
That's your
well,
first
actually,
job?
My first A&R job was at Epic Records. I was there for a week. And the guy who told me to go work at Epic Records told me to leave Epic and go to Atlantic.
Just because he thought it was a better move for you?
Just because. Because
you was going to take his job, that's why.
No. He was vice president of Motown, Timmy Regisford. He's a DJ. I'm a DJ. Merlin Bob, DJs. We all DJed on the same radio station. Timmy's like, yo, you're doing a lot of good things on the radio. You should be able to pick the records because you're breaking records. Mm-hmm. Cool. Go work over at Epic. Okay. I go, I'm there 4 days. He calls, he says, yeah, leave. I'm like, wait, I just got a job. It's real money. It's cash. I mean, they're paying. He was like, nah, go over here. Work with Merlin. I'm like, well, Merlin's my man, so that's easy. I'll go. And I swear to God, the second day, I was like, where's Jazz? Because I didn't look at it like it was Jay-Z and Jazz. I looked like it was Jazz and Jay-Z because it was Jazz first. Jazz had the record deal. Jazz was the guy who put Jay on records. So I'm like you, you know that they made a record way before all of that called High Potent, right?
Nope.
HP Gets Busy?
Nope.
High Potent Rappers was Jay-Z and Jazz O. So I was like, I need that. So I went looking for Jazz.
Full disclosure, when Clark mentioned High Potent, I did not have any idea this even existed. Did you, Syph?
No, I did not. And I was happy to fake like I did. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, you did a great job.
Yeah, yeah, High Potent, of course.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
Oh, no doubt. Okay, on YouTube, it says 1986. And when I tell you this song, there's only two words to describe it. It's shit, miss.
Are you saying it's low potent?
It's actually amazing because this song is so old school, Syph. It's like, it's a full era before like the originators in terms of sound.
Yeah.
Like this sounds like true mid 80s, like not particularly good old school hip hop. It's amazing to think about Jay-Z rapping on records that sounded like this, considering he's still the man today. It's unbelievable how old it sounds.
Well, it just goes to show you, kids, it doesn't matter what you do in the past, you still can make it. Don't worry about your past failures. Just get up and go again.
Wow. This is an inspirational moment. Is this like the episode you can't afford to miss?
This is one of them. One of the episodes you can't afford to miss.
Is this a very special blossom? Now, hold on. Where was Jazz signed for Hawaiian Sophie?
EMI.
It's EMI.
Right.
His deal was done? He got out of it?
I really didn't even care.
You didn't care.
They put an album out. He put an album out. But I didn't care if his deal was done. I was like, I got it. Nah, it wasn't that. It's just, it was funny. I didn't even think about that. I just was like, I wanted these guys to be where I was because I wanted to make their records. And we were cool. You need to know, like, before I got an A&R job, I was DJing parties through New Music Seminar. They would come and I'd be like, yo, get on stage. Put them on stage everywhere that I could have them rap and show everybody that they was the best. I was like, yeah, do it. And I would DJ for them by accident.
How long did you stay at Atlantic?
4 or 5 years.
So you were you eventually signed Original Flavor?
Yeah, I signed Original Flavor, Future Sound. Helped with signing MC Light, helped signing Dos Effects, helped with signing Audio 2, helped with signing Yo-Yo, helped with signing...
K-Solo was there?
Yeah, he was there. I produced K-Solo's remixes back then, but I was helping with signing practically every rapper there.
Oh, you know it's a dope record? It's an R&B record.
Rude Boys.
Rude Boys.
Yeah. My Kind of Girl. Yeah, that
was My Kind of Girl.
That was hard. Pause.
I don't know that record.
Your R&B... skills of especially in that era is not
not then. That's like 90. You're talking about pre Jay-Z being Jay-Z?
Yeah. Well, Jay-Z was always Jay-Z.
But like 91?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, that's not when that came out, did it?
Rude Boys is like 91.
Oh yeah, wow.
Yeah, that's not my era for R&B. That's cool. early 90s. Jay-Z's getting features like this on Atlantic. Like he's on, you know, major label singles, and he still could not get a deal.
Couldn't get a deal.
I find that very... Yeah, it's hard to understand.
Well, remixes were different back then. You would just give a DJ the record and he would just remix it and they would put it out as a marketing tool. So, like, it easily could be that the A&Rs never even heard these remixes. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was out of their... It was more of a marketing thing. You know what I'm saying? That's why people don't get publishing on remixes until later when Pharrell was like, yeah, I'm doing a remix, but I'm remaking a whole new song. So
yeah, or Clark is just like, I'm going to find a way to squeeze you on here, but it's just a little remix on a single.
Right.
It's not like life-changing.
Yeah, there was no video. It was just something to play in the clubs.
I just find it fascinating, though, that even with Clark there, they still couldn't get the deal done. So we talked to Kane and C. Everyone was talking about the process of Jay trying to get a deal.
Which part?
No, this C, that's later.
That like when Kane, after Jay went on the road with Kane, mm-hmm. Kane was sort of invested in hoping Jay would get a deal and pushing him.
Yeah,
in whichever way he could.
I believe that. I believe he was. But
why didn't he get one initially?
I truly believe what gets an artist signed, a great artist gets them signed, is a record. It's not about who you're down with. It's not who's your mans. It's not all of that. And I believe that also something that happens is timing. So I believe, though I thought he was the best MC I heard, he probably hadn't made the right record, which is perfectly fine because it took one record to get Biggs to say, okay, now I'm down. You know what I'm saying? But we had made like God knows how many records and it took one record for him to go, okay, yeah, now I'm gonna turn the corner. I'll get down with you now. That's the record that makes me turn the corner. And that record never got on an album, but it made Biggs go, oh, I'll invest in that.
So like Clark mentioned, Biggs, who's one of the owners of Rockefeller Records, he wasn't even fully convinced that Jay was a good MC until he heard In My Lifetime. You know what I'm saying? So even his own business partner that went on to make millions of dollars with the guy, even he wasn't fully convinced of Jay-Z in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? He still had to get his, I don't know what you call it, approval, acceptance, you know? It's just like that's the same reason why the A&Rs weren't signing him. Maybe there was something missing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Dame Dash dug it. Clark Kent dug it. But Kareem Biggs Burke, it took him time. It took him time before he actually believed this was something to invest money in.
And then he heard In My Lifetime, it was like, oh, I'm putting my dollars into this. And then I think he threw him up in the sky. He probably didn't throw him. He probably didn't throw his dollars up. You were making records with Jay?
I was making records with Jay. Okay. I was trying to get Jay a record deal.
So right. So even
when you were A&R?
Yeah. I mean, but I'm talking like after I meet Dame and I introduce him and all of that. It's me, Dame, and Jay.
Dame is, you met him because he managed Original Flavor?
I met Dame. The reason I met Dame is because the other A&R who worked at Atlantic Records, who Dame had a scheduled meeting with,
yeah,
did not come out into the office, come out into the hallway and bring them into the meeting. And I was walking out and I was like, they're young. I got to ask, yo, who you here to see? Oh, we here to see such and such. And he's just got us out here waiting. I was like, come on, I'll listen. Because wow. I believe yeah. an A&R's job
crazy.
Is to listen.
Yeah.
Because you never know what you'll find. I mean, if I told you that I work at Motown Records, which is historically a black record label,
mm-hmm.
and somebody goes, yeah, I got this group, and I walk in and I listen to it, and it's unbelievable what I hear, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna sign them just because of what I heard. And then when I meet them as four white guys, I don't care that you're white. I care that the record is, and you guys are amazing. So I signed 98 Degrees. No, everybody's looking at me like, you signed four white boys to Motown. Well, Rare Earth was signed to Motown, and they're all white guys. I don't think the color mattered. I think the record mattered. So I signed them. They go gold. They go platinum. They become 98 Degrees.
You're telling me you're responsible for Una Noche?
Invisible Man?
Yeah.
This is...
Right, I found that record.
This is the greatest
day. I loved Invisible Man.
Invisible Man was sent to the office. I was like, this is sick. Hey, guys, do this record.
Oh, so a writer or someone else just sent it.
Yeah, someone else sent the record. Did we just jump somewhere else?
We got yeah, we no, to 98 degrees.
But it was based off of caring about records.
No,
and he didn't
for.
Have, I don't believe that.
No, Dame, you're in the hallway. You bring Dame in.
Yeah, I bring Dame
he
in.
He plays what,
he
Original
plays
Flavor?
The Future Sound.
Future Sound?
Yeah, and I'm like, I like it. Just felt different. So I'm going to try to get you a deal. And I did. And then it was Original Flavor. And as soon as I heard the guy rapping, I was like, is that Ski? And he was like, yeah, you know Ski? I was like, I know Ski since... He was like a teenager because he was in the Busy Boys. And when I was on tour with Dana Dane, we did a show in North Carolina and the Busy Boys had a record called Dropping It. And I would come back, I'd be on the radio and I'd play Dropping It every week.
So Ski's an important player here. He's from North Carolina. He is part of Original Flavor.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up producing stuff on Reasonable Doubt, a bunch of stuff on Reasonable Doubt. He does Who You Wit off of Volume 1, and he did the whole Camp Low Uptown Saturday Night album.
Yeah.
He's a great producer,
great.
A great artist.
I had told him, if you ever come to New York, I'm going to get you a record deal. So I told him that. So when he came to New York and his records were dope, I was like, I'm going to give you a record deal. So I did, and he just happened to be with Dame. So it all was like,
but Dame, so because here's the thing, what we've been learning over this last couple of recording sessions of doing one at back, we back, baby. The moment that people are like, no, Clark did that. Clark said this. Clark introduced him. You seem to be the linchpin in this whole situation. So you meet Dame. He brings you groups. You sign them. You're working with Jay also. Yeah. They don't know each other.
No.
Did you introduce them?
100%.
You introduced Jay-Z
to Dame and
to
Dash.
Dame Dash.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Do you know how
press important... Stop on the press stop. Woo, man, we are in it right now. We are in it.
Yeah, so, okay, last time we talked about we played you that story of Clark Kent and Junior Mafia and annoying all of them
yeah.
because he's on the road with Biggie, but he can't stop talking about his artist, Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And we got into all of that.
Right, and if you're on the road, like, you know, Clark talked about a lot about hanging with Jay-Z, but you only would hang at certain times. And then you'd go home or go about your business. Jay-Z might have been doing other things, extracurricular activities. But when you're on the
road, or if it was like you on the road with Lil Kim, you know, they might go out to a nice dinner and say, "Syfe, you stay in the hotel, you fat bitch.
Throw me some Denny's. Throw me like a Denny's box, a leftover box." No, but when you're
actually, you know what? Oh, and I gotta correct that story. At that time, they would have called you a skinny bitch,
skinny Syfe back then. But they were. It was on the way. It was on the way. But you know, but what I'm saying is that you're on the road. So Clark is Biggie's DJ. So you're with somebody 24 hours a day. You know what I'm saying? And he just kept beating him in the head about Jay-Z, Jay-Z, Jay-Z.
Yeah, I can see why it annoyed Junior Mafia, and I can see how it got under Biggie's skin. But guess what? Clark, because of all this, we eventually get to Brooklyn's Finest. And fortunately, because we got a hold of Clark, we were able to hear the actual story of how Brooklyn's Finest got made.
No, but like the Juan Epp version, like the details. What studio? Who was in there? What bodega they ordered from? You know what I'm saying? So, okay, so you're on the road, Biggie, and you...
Working on Reasonable Doubt
at the same time.
You're doing Junior Mafia...
Yeah, what happened was
album.
This song, we come back home off of being on the road for a while.
So were you always personally happy to watch their friendship evolve?
What? You don't understand. The moment they met, I was like, drop the mic. I'm good. I could go.
And you knew, and you knew it would take off.
Absolutely, because
how'd they meet?
They didn't even speak. They just laughed. I was like, yes, because we all thought he was dope. And I
Where
thought
was
Jay
it?
Was dope. It was in a studio. But like, all they looked at each other and just was like, they just started laughing. I was like, yes.
This is for Brooklyn's Finest?
Yeah. We didn't even know it was Brooklyn's Finest then. It was called
They met
no
to
More
record
nice
that
guy.
Record?
No.
Oh.
I was recording Jay and had Big waiting downstairs like, don't worry, I'm going to try to get you on this song. Because Jay... Big heard the record by accident in a session we were in earlier for Junior Mafia.
The record that became Brooklyn's Finest?
He heard the beat and was like, I want that. And I was like, hey, can't have that. That's for Jay. And he said, you get this nigga everything. And I was like, well, he's my artist, so.
Right, because the difference is he was your artist.
He's my artist, so like.
You were working for Biggie.
I was working.
With, don't say for.
With, sorry, I don't work for nobody.
Yeah. But you were hired, correct?
You're not saying it right.
I understand it's Brooklyn shit. I get it.
No, it's not that. They came to me to work with him.
But that's different than you. This is your
interest. Yeah, like no, like right. This is gonna happen.
Right. And you've been overseeing it to some degree since the beginning.
Right.
It's very different.
It has to happen.
So he hears what eventually becomes Brooklyn.
Did you ever play Jay for Puff?
Nah. He heard him, and he didn't.
Yeah, but you did. But
he had Biggie. There was nothing. He wasn't gonna do nothing with this guy when he got Biggie, and I respect it. Like you got Biggie, like.
But you were playing Jay-Z for Big over and over, but you wouldn't play for Puff.
What was the point?
Right.
You're not gonna sign this guy when you got that guy. I mean, respectfully, if you're a label owner, are you signing Jay-Z when you got Biggie?
I guess you can, unless
but
you wanted to squash.
If it was my label, I'd be like, hell yeah. I'm signing you. I'm signing Big. I'm signing Nas. I'm signing everybody. I want the best at my label. Kind of like the way Def Jam was trying to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
Puff's thing was different, though. Yeah,
Puff's thing was super different. Yeah. It was. I'm not even
trying to get him signed. I'm just wondering if you playing all these records for Big.
No, he heard enough. Mm. We was out and we was in the street. We were going into clubs buying every bottle of champagne while people were walking in getting pissed off. Like Puff was one of the dudes who got pissed off a couple of times. Like that. What do you mean? There's no champagne? Well, they bought it.
I've heard about those wars.
So, plenty of times.
So you said something that was fascinating though. You said Biggie was downstairs. You were in the studio with Jay,
recording.
And you were trying to get him on the Jay record.
Yeah, okay.
Wouldn't it have been a no-brainer that Jay would have wanted Big to be on the record?
Or at least on something.
Listen, the record was Jay's record, right? And again, like hours earlier, I was in a session with Jay, and he hears the beat, and he was like, I want it. And I'm like, no.
No, Big said that. Big said it.
I said no, because I'm... going to record it on Jay. You give him everything. I was like, okay, I'll ask. but come to the studio and wait downstairs. How am I supposed to just walk upstairs with Big when I'm going to record this record? So
what studio
I go
it?
In.
Come on.
Where Preem used to work all the time.
D&D.
D&D.
Yes.
How did I not just remember that?
That's wow. fine.
Anyway.
We're old.
Well, notice I said where Preem worked all the time. I used to use Unique all the time. Okay. So that was my studio. That was Preem's studio. Respectfully. That was Preem's house.
Yeah, but of
that's
course.
Where we were recording this day. And I go in, slip the disc in, drop the beat to the tape.
What Jake, machine?
Huh? SP-1200, S950. What are you talking about?
That Brooklyn's Finest is SP-1200.
99.9% of every record I made is on an SP-1200. Every Bay's record anthem? I made. Every record I've made.
Filtered bass lines?
SP-1200 and 950. Player's Anthem isn't a filter.
No, I'm saying just the 950 yeah, was good oh, yeah, for filtered bass
for sure,
lines.
For sure. But like every record is an SP-1200. Every single record, even last year, Kanye. SP-1200.
So, at this point, Big just wants to be on that record because he loved the Ohio Players. He wanted the beat.
So I'm like, please, just let me see what I can do. I go in, drop the beat on tape. Jay goes in and does three verses. Comes back out. I'm like, yo, insane. Like, I'm still like, how did I start the conversation? I was scared too. Like, this is going to sound dumb that I'm asking after he does three verses. So he does it. He comes back out. I go, man, room full of motherfuckers too. Yo, you should let Big on this record.
They never met.
He says, I mean, that's your man. I don't know him.
Very Brooklyn he's, answer.
Very,
he's like, very Brooklyn he's answer. Like, he's like, that's your man. I don't know him. If you can get him. And Dame goes, nah, fuck that. We ain't paying Puff no money. And I was like, okay, I get it. But then Jay said again, I mean, you know, If you get them, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Instead of going to the bathroom, I go down in the elevator, bring them back upstairs. Be like, yo. Jay's like, you a funny nigga. And then they just started laughing. And I was like, yes.
Now yes. The laugh makes sense.
Right.
Because so, he was waiting out to jump on the song.
So I was like, yes. So they're laughing with each other, right? And then Jay goes, you fuck with it? He was like, yeah. And he's sitting. I'm here. Jay's Big is there. And Jay is standing. And he says, play the beat. So the beat is playing. And he's like, and I'm like, and he goes, all right, come on. And he goes
Big
back in.
Or Jay.
Jay. Goes back in and does all of his parts and leaves the open section.
Different rhymes.
Stop.
Sorry.
Listen.
Shh. Saif, shut the fuck up.
He does his sections, all of them, and then goes, you ready? Big was like, what the fuck just happened? And I said, I told you don't write his raps. He goes, like, did he just change everything? I told you don't write his raps, man. He's ill. He was like, nigga, that was crazy. I said, you ready? He was like, nah, I need to take that home. 2 months later.
2 months?
Months. He goes, we're
two
at Giant.
Months.
2 months. The day before mastering.
What?
So he jumps in, does his verses. I'm like, yes. Guys, where's the hook? Scratch something. What? No, I'm not scratching anything. I can't scratch anything to this beat. Figure it out. So I'm like, represent BK to the fullest. No, shit's too bumpy over this beat.
Right.
The beat is too intricate. I can't scratch to the beat. You're a DJ, scratch something. No.
Because the sample, Ecstasy, there's like the pianos, the drums roll.
It's too much. It's rolling.
It's rolling the whole time.
Shit is too much.
It's got the guitar, the piano. It's
everything. It's just too much. So I'm just like, dude, like, Big goes, yeah, I'm going to go to the store. Never comes back. Jay, I'm going to go to the store. Never comes back. Hours. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm scratching everything that says Brooklyn. Everything. Nothing. Only thing that worked was ODB going, Brooklyn. But I'm like, that can't go through the hook.
Well.
Okay. I'm going to try to put a hook together. So I'm writing. And the first thing I write from is when Jay said, Jay-Z, Biggie Smalls, nigga, shit your drawers. Brooklyn going out to all. Then I was like, okay. Crown Heights, you don't stop. Bed-Stuy, you don't stop. Nigga. Okay. So
you're a writer, son.
No, far from it. And that was a joke in the crew, too. So I go in the booth. I do this hook all the way down the record. Dame is there. And I'm just like, fuck, this is going to end bad.
Wait, that's you on the hook?
Yeah.
Wait, you performed it?
Yes, that's me
that's
doing
your
the hook.
Voice on the hook?
If you listen to it now, you're going to go, oh, shit, that's Clark on the hook.
Oh, I never.
Now, if you know, when you listen, you'll go, oh, shit, that is him on the hook. Where you from? Going out for all. Marcy. Like, if you think about it, you'll go.
Okay, you're right. Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But why? But
what if I don't tell you?
Well, no, you didn't. And you didn't think of it for 25 fucking years.
Which is perfect. It's perfectly fine.
That's incredible, though.
Nah,
that a song could be so big and you're not thinking about who is that. Now, that is what you call a one-ep gem, Syph.
One-ep moment. That was it right there.
I'm telling the engineer, can you make my voice sound different? Can you do 4 more tracks of me sounding lower? Can you please fix it? One, I hate my voice on the mic.
No, you got a good voice.
I totally hate my voice on the mic. Wow. So I'm just like, please do whatever to me.
Who's the engineer? Do you remember?
Kenny Ortiz.
I don't know.
Kenny Ortiz. And I begged him. I was, please, Kenny, make me sound different. Just do whatever you got to do. Make me sound different, man. And I didn't sound different. And shit pissed me off. And Brooklyn's Finest gets mastered. And I'm at the studio like, they're going to hate it. They're going to fucking hate it. I'm going to get crucified. Dame don't say nothing. I get a call. This shit is fire. I'm like, really? You like it? Yeah. Oh, this shit is fire. No one asked the question. Who's that?
Really?
Till later. Yo, who's that? Dame goes, oh, that's Clark. Yo, we fucking told you don't ever rap. I was like, I wasn't rapping.
It's a chorus.
I wasn't rapping. It's a chorus. They were like, we fucking told you don't rap. And I was like, I didn't want to do it. You guys never came back. You left me in the studio. I had nothing. And they were like, shit's fire, though. But you can't never rap. And I was like, I don't want to rap. Trust me, I don't ever want to rap. Yo.
Well, it turned out pretty well. And the album turned out to do pretty well. Also,
yeah, I knew that was gonna happen.
Did you know you knew it would do that well?
What, the album?
Reasonable Doubt.
I knew the album was perfect. That's that. I knew it was perfect, so I knew it would be fine.
Big thank you to Clark Kent for spending so much time with us, and actually, quiet as kept, Syph, we actually got some more from Clark Kent that you may hear from later.
Oh yeah, we got some more stuff. Don't you worry. Don't you fret your pretty little heads about.
I really think, I got to tell you, congratulations, because I think we did a tremendous job telling the story of Jay-Z from the streets of Brooklyn up through Reasonable Doubt. I think we killed it. Can I be honest? Now, the next couple of episodes, we're going to dive deep into the catalog. It's time to get into the discography. I'm talking about Volume 1. I'm talking about Volume 2. I'm talking about Volume 3. I'm talking about Volume 4. I'm talking about Volume 5.
No, I think he changed.
I'm talking about Volume 6.
He didn't
six.
Do volumes.
I'm talking about...
No, he didn't do... He stopped the volumes what? After 3.
Anyways, guys, thanks for rocking with us. I'm glad you dug it so far. Make sure you rate, review, leave a comment, do all that stuff. And make sure you join us next week when we dive deeper into the story of Jay Hova. One Ep is hosted by me, Peter Rosenberg.
And me, Cypher Sounds.
Our production team is associate producer Rob Dozier.
And production assistant Hebron Mendez.
Dan Panarese is our associate editor. Our executive producer is Chiquita Pascal.
One Ep is a production of Mass Appeal and Endeavor Audio and is also created by producer Samantha Allison of Endeavor Audio and associate producer Savannah Jeffries of Mass Appeal.
As well as executive producer Mark Grandy of Mass Appeal and Dave Easton of Endeavor Audio.
Cedric Wilson is our mix engineer.
Kasim Bradley is our recording engineer.
Special thank you to editorial board TK Dukes,
Gabby Bulgarelli,
and Mary Baxter. Yo, I used to hate Clark. Cause
what?
I'll tell you why. When I DJed for Lil' Kim, if we did anything that was either high profile, like a TV show, or in the vicinity of New York City, they'd be
don't
like,
"Don't do that, man.
You stay home. Clark's coming." And I'm like, I just did shit shows with you. At least I could get the benefit of DJ at home. They're like, no. Clark's coming. You sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up.
You never told me that. I didn't realize that.
Yo, they be like, Clark, like, God either. Nah, damn it.
Terrible.
For Clark. Like, yo, we doing the Apollo tonight. We doing the Apollo with Mace and all these dope rappers. And they're like, oh, I can't wait. Oh, no, you're not coming. Clark's coming.